Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's Tuesday, September 21st. It is the Feast of St. Matthew, Evangelist and Apostle. St. Matthew, pray for us and give us all the courage needed to speak the truth in love, especially in these trying times in which we live. It's also the final day of summer on the calendar, with fall moving in tomorrow. We have a great lineup for you today. Very excited about both of our guests, because so good to see that so many things are coming back together, especially meeting in person. In the first hour of my program, I have a two-hour show every day. The first hour, we consider it more of a regional selection in terms of interviews, focusing on what's happening in Michigan and Ohio. I interviewed the new head of evangelization for the Archdiocese of Detroit, Dr. Marlon De La Torre. And little did I know that it was the Feast of St. Matthew. I didn't look ahead to the readings today, but when I was going over the rundown again this morning, and of course I do the readings in the morning before I do the show and go to various websites to see what the Lord is telling us in Scripture, I just chuckled to myself that today is a Feast of the Evangelist. And so really important for us to take this message at heart in terms of what the readings are saying, which are so, so powerful. And I'll talk a little bit more about that at the bottom of the hour. But in light of evangelization, it's also very perfect timing to discuss a beautiful conference that's coming up. And we're going to be talking about the Connecticut Catholic Men's Conference with Ken Santopietro, who's the director of it. Very exciting. It's going to be covering all the dioceses in the state of Connecticut. It's going to be outdoors at a new local baseball stadium that seats 6,000. So let's hope they pack the place. The theme is the Most Holy Rosary. Father Don Calloway, Dr. Ralph Martin, Gary Zimick, Dr. Blythe Kaufman, who's from Connecticut and is the second ever female speaker. She started the Children's Rosary, and because of so many requests from wives and other women in that area, they've opened it up to women to attend as well. Now, it will be recorded by our wonderful affiliate at Veritas Broadcasting, Catholic Network. It's an EWTN affiliate of ours, and it will be broadcast at a later date. But if you're in that part of the country and can get to Connecticut this weekend for the event with so many fabulous speakers, we mentioned Dr. Blythe, we have Gary Zimick again, Dr. Ralph Martin, Father Don Calloway, and focusing on the Rosary, what a great event to attend, and so great to see people coming together again in person. Thank you, Jesus. So we'll talk about that. And then, very much looking forward to, after a quick summary of our readings and a little reflection time, Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione is going to be joining us, and he's going to be talking about, among other things, an article he penned with Archbishop Gomez regarding St. Sarah and how the left continues to try and smear him, which is so unfair. And let's just develop an agenda, and let's just do the Saul Alinsky thing and put it out there and just keep putting it out there and making the saint look like the bad guy. So trying to dispel the myths and the lies that are being said. And if we have time, hopefully we can ask the Archbishop about this latest abortion measure that is just off the charts and that the bishops are calling the most extreme abortion measure ever. And, of course, it's been introduced by Nancy Pelosi and others who claim to be Catholic and yet are pushing the most extreme abortion laws. Talk about that in the news, and there were some good stories on this last night as well on EWTN News Nightly. I encourage you to check it out. Let's check out the weather before we move into the news today and see what's happening across the country. We're going to get more rain in certain parts. A strong cold front producing heavy rain, actually, creating mainly localized areas of flash flooding in the Great Lakes region from the Great Lakes to the Ohio Valley. Another flash flood threat is in parts of the southeast and the southern Appalachian Mountains. Otherwise, you do have some bad conditions around the country also because of wildfires, but we'll keep you posted on those developments. We also have some news on that coming up in our news links later in the day. Right now, 4 minutes past the hour, a ton of news to get through. Never a dull moment. Let's do that right now. It is a Tuesday morning, September 21st, the Feast of St. Matthew, the Evangelist and Apostle. Well, we mentioned this earlier, the House this week voting on a measure the U.S. Bishops Conference calls the most extreme abortion measure and would effectively impose abortion on demand throughout pregnancy. It's called the quote-unquote Women's Health Protection Act. Recognizes a statutory right of women to have abortions. Also states the right of doctors, certified nurse midwives, and as Catholic News Agency explains, nurse practitioners and doctors' assistants to perform abortion, prohibiting many limitations on the right, such as state pro-life laws requiring ultrasounds or waiting periods before abortions. Pro-life Congresswoman Kat Kamick from Florida and Mallory Quigley of the Susan B. Anthony list told EWTN News Nightly last evening the measure is the most radical abortion push to date.
It basically allows for abortion to occur right up into the third trimester. It could be the day before a woman is set to go into labor, and it allows abortion to happen.
It's a complete government overreach where Speaker Pelosi and pro-abortion Democrats in Congress want to have a lasting impact, even into the state level, to prevent states from passing future pro-life laws and undoing ones that are on the books currently.
House Speaker Pelosi, who still calls herself a Catholic, announcing the House vote on the bill earlier this month after a Texas law went into effect restricting abortions after detection of a fetal heartbeat. A fetal heartbeat can be detected as early as 6 weeks into pregnancy. The Texas law is enforced through private civil lawsuits. Now, after the Supreme Court rejected a challenge to the law on September 1st, Pelosi vowed to bring up the Women's Health Protection Act and enshrine it into law, reproductive health care for all women across America, she says. The bill is scheduled to be voted on this week in the U.S. House. And again, as we mentioned earlier, in an action alert, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops is calling this the most radical abortion bill of all time. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court announcing yesterday it will hear arguments in a critical abortion case coming up on December 1st. In the case of Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, a challenge to Mississippi's law restricting most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy, the court will decide the question of whether all state abortion bans pre-viability are unconstitutional. Viability is the court's legal standard from 1973, regarded as the point at which an unborn child can survive outside the womb. Again, the court saying the oral arguments from both sides will be heard coming up on December 1st. Poland's March for Life and the Family drew some 5,000 pro-lifers this year, according to the organizers of the event. More on this on CatholicNewsAgency.com. The annual march taking place in Warsaw this past Sunday. Thousands of participants taking to the streets in the Polish capital, carrying the country's red and white flag, as well as posters with many pro-life slogans. The Vatican requiring all visitors and personnel to show a COVID-19 pass proving they have been vaccinated, have recovered from the coronavirus, or have tested negative for the disease in order to enter the city-state beginning October 1st. To enter Vatican territory, tourists and other visitors, employees, and officials will be required to show a digital or paper COVID certificate issued by the Vatican or another country. The UN Children's Fund is calling on governments to reopen schools as quickly as possible. They say school children worldwide have lost over a trillion hours of in-person learning due to COVID-19. And as Robin Gomes with Vatican News explains, fund leaders are very concerned that many children still cannot return to school 8 months into the COVID crisis. And as a reminder, UNICEF has set up a special clock in the UN Visitors Plaza, hoping to make a strong statement during the UN General Assembly, which begins today in New York.
The clock is a real-time counter in the form of a blackboard displaying the growing cumulative number of in-person learning hours every school child in the world has lost and continues to lose since the pandemic's onset. The scenario aims to draw the attention of delegations to the General Assembly, many of whom will be attending the meeting in person for the first time since the start of the pandemic. Reopen schools as soon as possible reads the bottom line on the blackboard. Young learners have been cut off from their education and other vital benefits schools provide. Globally, around 131 million schoolchildren in 11 countries have missed three-quarters of their in-person learning from March 2020 to September 2021. Among them, 59%, or nearly 77 million, have missed almost all in-person instruction time. Around 27% of countries continue to have schools fully or partially closed. Additionally, according to UNESCO's latest data, more than 870 million students at all levels are currently facing disruptions to their education. schools in around 17 countries remain fully closed, while those in 39 countries remain partially closed, UNICEF said. Among those almost completely closed are schools usually attended by nearly 77 million students in Bangladesh, the Philippines, Venezuela, Saudi Arabia, Panama, and Kuwait.
Meanwhile, more than 100 heads of state are in New York to attend the General Assembly at the UN. It did open last week, but the first day of the general debate starts today, with Joe Biden giving a speech this morning. The Pentagon is facing more questions about the recent U.S. drone strike that killed 10 innocent civilians, including 7 children in Kabul. Speaking to reporters, Pentagon spokesman John Kirby noting the Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has ordered what he calls a thorough review of the incident.
To examine the investigation itself, the thoroughness of the investigation, to study the degree to which any policies, procedures, or targeting mechanisms may need to be altered going forward.
The drone strike occurring toward the end of the massive and chaotic evacuation at the Kabul airport last month. The commander of U.S. Central Command has apologized, calling it a tragic mistake. The Homeland Security Secretary is on the Texas border to try and learn more about the surge of Haitian migrants seeking asylum under a bridge. Congressman Roland Gutierrez says they need more help now because he's been told there are thousands of additional migrants coming soon.
I have asked the president through a letter that I sent out yesterday for more immigration staff to be able to process these people in a much faster manner.
The Democrat worried about COVID spreading through the makeshift camps because most of the migrants are not vaccinated. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell hammering the agenda of the Democrats.
The reckless taxing and spending spree the Democrats are riding behind closed doors is designed to leave Americans with a socialist country they never voted for.
During opening speeches on the Senate floor, the Kentucky Republican calling it a Trojan horse of socialism. McConnell again vowing to withhold GOP support of a hike in the federal debt ceiling without an agreement from Democrats to cut the spending. Virginia police say they arrested the suspect accused of shooting 2 teens at a high school in Newport News.
This individual is in custody. The next steps will be to try to determine why. Why did this happen?
The Newport News Police Chief Steve Drew saying both 17-year-old victims are in the hospital with non-life-threatening gunshot wounds. He says the suspect was caught off school grounds yesterday. The FBI is searching the Florida home of Brian Laundrie, the person of interest in his fiancée Gabby Petito's disappearance. One Northport neighbor saw authorities swoop in on Monday. Federal agents towing away Brian's sports car as well as several boxes, including computer equipment that might detail a digital map of what may have happened. FBI officials saying yesterday the body found in a camping area that borders the Grand Teton National Park is believed to be that of Petito's, while Laundrie remains missing. Sara Lee Kessler tells us AstraZeneca announcing what it calls groundbreaking results in a trial of its new breast cancer drug.
The British pharmaceutical giant says the drug, called Enhertu, cut the risk of death or progression of HER2-positive breast cancer by 72%. That's a type of breast cancer considered incurable. AstraZeneca also says when Enhertu is paired with chemotherapy, it's twice as effective in controlling HER2-positive breast cancer as existing treatments.
Wall Street futures are bouncing back after yesterday's major sell-off. Dow futures up 308 points, more than 0.9%. S&P 500 futures up more than 0.8%. And NASDAQ futures are up just under 0.8%. Monday, a very bad day for all three averages. The Dow dropping more than 614 points, nearly 1.8%. The Christmas shopping season may be months away, but as reporter Sarah Bartlett explains, you may want to start hunting for those bargains now, as it may come with a much higher price tag.
That's especially true for artificial trees, which are expected to cost more than usual. CNN reports that some artificial tree sellers are bumping up their prices by double-digit percentages. Companies like Balsam Hill in California say it's due to high shipping costs. Those selling holiday decor are also reportedly feeling the strain.
Meanwhile, FedEx saying it will hike its shipping rates next year. The company announcing yesterday that prices will go up by an average of about 6%. FedEx saying in a statement the changes reflect incremental costs associated with the challenging operating environment. And it comes after the U.S. Postal Service announced temporary price hike on many mail services during the Christmas season to offset their rising costs. 15 minutes past the hour. Hope your Tuesday, the Feast of St. Matthew the Evangelist, is going well. Speaking of evangelizing, our friends in Connecticut are doing that very well with a beautiful men's conference coming up this weekend. We'll tell you all about it up next.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Having a beautiful Tuesday morning on this, the Feast of St. Matthew, Apostle and Evangelist. Very appropriate that we talk about another way to evangelize. In addition to Catholic Radio, is having a conference, having a retreat, and a big one coming up this weekend in the beautiful state of Connecticut, which is actually Al Cresta's home state. He also reminds us many times. I always talk about New Jersey. He always talks about Connecticut. It's a beautiful place, and there's a beautiful event coming up this weekend. Ken Santopietro, his director for the 2021 Connecticut Catholic Men's Conference. And Ken, what a lineup. Wow. Tell us about it. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Well,
good morning. Thank you very much for talking to me. Of course, we have Father Donald Calloway is coming, and we have Dr. Ralph Martin and Gary Zemek and Dr. Blythe Kaufman, as well as Father Elias Mills.
Wow.
And they'll be speaking.
So my understanding is that you're also going to be opening this up to the ladies, because many, many events, unfortunately, are still being canceled here and there. And there's been a lot of inquiries, I understand, for women interested in coming, correct?
Yeah, we saved lots of phone calls, and we thought it was the right thing to do. Our theme this year is the Most Holy Rosary. So if any year, you know, we aren't doing all things all masculine all of the time, certainly we're inviting the ladies to come.
Yeah.
None of the topics this year are going to be, you know, prevent any women from wanting to come, that's for sure.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about how you came to pick this theme of the Most Holy Rosary and how you went about, you know, picking the speakers as well. Give us a little background, if you would.
Well, we started out by taking a look at some of the favorite books that we had from Father Calloway had been on the Rosary, and we'd always wanted to bring him back. We had him 10 years ago. And so we've gone with themes like, you know, go out into the world and other evangelizing themes. And we thought that this was a year to turn back and to take a look at the Rosary. And then when he was available, it was great. And it was before his book came out. Actually, it was while his book was out on the consecration of St. Joseph. But, it came out. We brought him in as the speaker before, I should say, we had the official year of St. Joseph. That's what I meant to say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we just looked for the best available talent that was out there. We contacted Dr. Martin, he was somebody that we'd always been looking at. Mm-hmm. And when he agreed, then we were just overjoyed at that time. And I've listened to Gary on EWTN in the morning. I liked him. And Dr. Coffin wrote also a book this year, Consecration to Jesus through Mary. And that's been very popular all over the world in her children's rosary movement. So that rounds out our speaking lineup.
Really exciting. Now, I understand this covers all the dioceses. Basically, you're inviting folks from all the dioceses in the state of Connecticut, correct?
Yeah. The Catholic Conference, the Men's Conference, is a collaboration of Hartford, Norwich, and Bridgeport Diocese.
That's beautiful. And do you find that you have a representation from all the dioceses and even maybe other nearby states, Ken, where folks can have access to conferences right now? What are you seeing in terms of the folks that are responding?
Well, we did a map 1 year, and we tried to pinpoint where they were coming from. And it really was from all over. I mean, New York, Massachusetts, New Jersey, all over the place. And there weren't a lot of, I have to say, the most were in the Archdiocese of Hartford, because we've always had our, trying to be in the middle of the state, we always had our location there, so we do get most people from the Hartford area.
And you do have someone that I know, and he's an amazing leader. He was in Michigan for many years in the Archdiocese of Detroit, Most Reverend Leonard Blair, the Archbishop of Hartford, is going to be your principal celebrant. He is a very holy bishop, and he went from the Archdiocese of Detroit, and then he went to Toledo before, I believe, coming to you. But he's a good man, so he's going to be celebrating the Mass for you, correct?
Yeah, and he's very gracious. He came last year. He took a tour of the stadium with me, and he walked all the way from the top of the stadium all the way down to the ground level to do an interview last year, and he just loved it. This guy was blue. So we're praying for great weather this weekend.
Ah, it's this Saturday. What time does it all start?
The doors are going to open 7:30 a.m., and the official start is at 8:30.
Okay, great. We're talking with Ken Santopietro. The website for the Catholic Men's Conference is CT, as in Connecticut, catholicmen.org. Again, CT, catholicmen.org. Father Don Calloway, Dr. Ralph Martin, Gary Zimick, Dr. Blythe Kaufman, Bishop Blair. It's just going to be a great, great day. Now, I understand our friends at Veritas are recording this, correct?
Yeah, that's right. They're going to record the entire conference, and then they do interviews of the speakers, and then they will replay the whole thing probably next month at the time of their choosing.
Wow. So, Ken, what led you to get involved in this? Because this is a big undertaking, being involved in any type of a conference, but especially this one that could be so large. And you already have several hundred people registered, and you still have room because it's at a baseball stadium for thousands to attend. And it would be very safe because it's outside, so you can spread out. But what prompted you to get involved in this?
You know, I went to the first one, and I said to my friend, this was not what I thought it was going to be. I liked it a lot. And I went back to my parish, and I said, how come more guys don't go? And then a couple of years later, you know, I found somebody on the committee, and I just said, you know, I'd like to be involved on the committee. And then just as things turned by the fifth year of the conference, they had turned back to me and said, Ken, do you want to be the director? You know, things happen in people's lives. And I said, sure, and this is my ninth conference now.
Wow.
And each year, you know, our goal and our mission is that each year the men increase their spirituality just a little bit. You know, if you can increase your faith just a little every single year through using the conference as a tool, that's a great thing. I mean, that's what it is for me. I've met so many fantastic speakers and great men at these conferences every year. There's nothing like it. I love being in the middle of it, and I've never been embarrassed a single day to say, you know what, this is my event, this is the apostolate that I work on. A little bit every single day of the year. So I love it. I think it's awesome.
Good for you. And what a thing to talk about today on the Feast of St. Matthew the Evangelist. What would you say to those who are thinking about going, not sure, thinking where you were many years ago when you attended your first men's conference? And also, what about those who may be a little bit shy about evangelizing? What would you say to them as we wrap up this morning?
Well, you know, the only evangelizing that I tend to do is to tap on somebody's shoulder and invite them to the men's conference. And then I let the Lord take it from there.
Mm-hmm.
What we have this year, we have an adoration suite that's actually in the luxury box of the stadium. When you're down in the field, you can look up and you can actually see the monstrance through the window.
Oh.
And there's nothing better than that. I told Father Calloway, and he said, oh, Jesus will be watching me the whole time. and that was funny. I didn't think about that, but that was true. And, you know, I tell them to come and see. You know, you want to listen to what they have to say. You know, not everybody's going to touch you. Not every talk is going to do it for you, but there'll be something there that just brings you a little bit closer. Maybe it's a book that you bring home. Maybe it's somebody that you make friends with who you didn't realize really wanted to go to things like this, and then you can attend with them the next year.
Absolutely. I love what you said about just tapping them on the shoulder and inviting them. We're out of time, but Ken, thank you so much for your yes to Christ in the Catholic Men's Conference. Ken Santopietro, director of the Connecticut Catholic Men's Conference. Awesome speakers. It's going to be recorded and then broadcast at a later date, and our friends at Veritas, our affiliate there in Connecticut. You can go to ctcatholicmen.org, ctcatholicmen.org. And ladies, you're invited as well. Check it out. Father Calloway, Dr. Ralph Martin, our friend Gary Zimick, and many more this Saturday in Connecticut. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
Awe. I love reverence. Wherever I go in the world, I usually go to visit the religious buildings. And no matter what I see reverence. Awe. I've been in temples and mosques where I saw more reverence and awe of God than I see in Christian churches, even sometimes in Catholic churches. Oh yes, let me say it. When I was a boy, Catholics were much more reverent and respectful in church. You never, ever spoke in church. I was a young priest. A man had a heart attack at the beginning of Mass. I stopped the Mass. We prayed for the man. While the police were coming, the ambulance, they removed him from the church. He didn't die. Not one word was spoken. The police officers and the ambulance attendants who came whispered respect. I wish it were true today.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Not all sin is equal. Sins can, says the Catholic Catechism, be distinguished in gravity according to their objects, to the virtues they oppose or the commandments they violate. The root of sin lies within man's heart, Jesus declared. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These, said the Lord, are what defile a man. On the other hand, charity, the source of all good works, also resides in the heart. The gravest of sin, mortal sin, destroys charity in man's heart by a serious violation of God's law. Mortal sin requires three conditions: grave matter, full knowledge of that gravity, and complete consent of the will. Because mortal sin turns man away from God by preferring an inferior good to God, it should be brought to confession. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Catholic Connection. It is a Tuesday morning, September 21st, 2021. You're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And of course, this is co-produced, this particular program, by Ave Maria and EWTN. Check out all the great resources, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. And you heard Ken Sampietro talking about his love for evangelization, the great work that he's doing with the Catholic Men's Conference, how it all began, and what he does in addition to getting behind this event every year and helping to organize it and bring in the great speakers such as Father Calloway and Ralph Martin and Gary Zimick. He also taps people on the shoulder and invites them. And I think we need to think more about doing that, especially on this, the feast day of St. Matthew, Apostle and Evangelist. Let me share with you the readings today. First reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. One body and one Spirit, as you were called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And he gave some as apostles, others as prophets, others as evangelists, others as pastors and teachers, to equip the holy ones of the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the extent of the full stature of Christ. So that is our first reading. Beautiful. Responsorial psalm is a message goes out through all the earth, and our gospel, of course, from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 9. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the customs post. He said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. While he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. A Pharisee saw this and said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" He heard this and said, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" That's our gospel for today. On this, the Feast of St. Matthew, Apostle and Evangelist. Thanks be to God. And very, very timely. You know, my latest book, which is Listening for God and Discovering the Incredible Ways God Speaks to Us, it's a variety of testimonies from people from all walks of life who've had those God moments, the timing of something happening in their life when people realize there is no way that this is a coincidence. It's too coincidental to be a coincidence. And we know that it's God. You just get that feeling that God is involved. And he is. He's involved in everything in our lives. He sees everything. He knows everything. And he wants to be there. But he's a gentleman. He stands at the door and knocks and doesn't force his way in. Just as he says to Matthew, "Follow me." What does Matthew do? He gets up, says yes, and follows him. So how are you following the Lord today? And I was thinking about this as I was looking at our rundown. Every single person that we have on the rundown today, starting from an interview in the first hour of the program, as I mentioned earlier, the first hour is regional. You can listen to it online if you like by getting our app at AveMariaRadio.net. But we had Michael Spencer. Michael Spencer is a former Protestant pastor, and he left his job as a pastor to start a full-time pro-life ministry, where he is teaching clergy and laity how to address the pro-life message in church. And he's speaking in Michigan coming up this Thursday, and he was absolutely fantastic. I interviewed him only for about 15 minutes, and I want to hit him back on, maybe even for the second hour, this hour of the show. But he's using his gifts, his experience, 23 years he served as a pastor in an evangelical church, and is now using his experience to work with priests and deacons and Protestant leaders and laity to evangelize about the most important thing that is life, because life affects everything. So that was the first interview. The second interview was Dr. Marlon De La Torre, and guess who he is? He's down in Texas right now, and coming up to serve in the Archdiocese of Detroit as our new, hello, Director of Evangelization. And then next on the hit parade this morning was Ken Santopietro. You just heard, the wonderful director of the 2021 Connecticut Catholic Men's Conference. Now, do you think that's coincidence? Andrew and I talk all the time, and we plan the show, and he knows the types of interviews that I like to do. He knows that I love promoting great events like this one. But neither of us looked ahead at the readings for today. Very busy doing what we do and, you know, doing the research and whatnot. And then when I opened up the daily readings from the USCCB website and I saw that it was the Feast of St. Matthew, and then I went to the rundown again, I just chuckled. And I said, "Oh Lord, you are just something else, aren't you?" When you are in Scripture every single day, again, I say this all the time, It feels like God is moving the readings around just to apply them to what you're going through or what you're experiencing that particular day. But my main reason of focusing on this is that this isn't a coincidence, okay? There are no coincidences. And there is a reason that this lines up perfectly with the Gospels, because it's a reminder through this network, through this forum that we are given, thanks be to God for the courage of our foundress, Mother Angelica, and others who are running this network, and may she rest in peace. She's such a great witness for us still in heaven. But to really think and pray about your own ministry. We are all called, and this first reading is extremely clear. It is not just up to the priests. It's not just up to those who run radio stations and conferences and networks. Each person is gifted in a particular way. You were also called to the one hope of your call. St. Paul reminds us in Ephesians. Some as apostles, others as prophets, others as evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip the holy ones for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. No one gets a pass on this. Our faith is very clear. We are all called to evangelize by virtue of our baptism. Now we're called to do that differently, as St. Paul reminds us. Some of us may not do this through a platform, whether it be at a podium or somewhere else, but you can do what Ken did and does. Tap someone on the shoulder. Invite them to Mass, perhaps. Invite them to this conference, or invite them to another event, or just invite them for a stinking cup of coffee at your local coffee shop to sit down and just touch base with them and find out how they're doing, and maybe talk about what the Lord is doing in your life. During my interview in the first hour with Dr. Marlin, I asked him, I said, what are you hearing around the country? Because this man is extremely experienced in catechesis and works with people all over the country. I said, what are you hearing and what do you hope to apply when you come to the Archdiocese of Detroit? And he was discussing the fact that people need that personal contact. That while we've learned so much, and this is a good thing, learned so much about doing ministry online, that's great, and I think we'll always have that, and we need to keep that as an option. But he said there is nothing like that personal relationship, that first and foremost, obviously, that personal relationship with Christ, but secondly, we need to invite one another, to be Christ to one another, to bring a person to a conference, to invite them to Mass, to invite them for that cup of coffee. Grace was given to each of us, as St. Paul says, according to the measure of the gift that God gives us. How are you using those gifts? We need to use them wisely and well, or we'll be held accountable. We're all going to be held accountable. So get out there and make a difference in whatever way God is telling you. We'll be right back.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Now, when Jesus was on earth, he taught us a great lesson. He taught us that he came for the sinner, not the virtuous. He came for you because you are imperfect, because sin comes easy to you, and sometimes you don't have the willpower to say no. But you see, if you understood the awesomeness of God in all his power and all his wonder, and he comes down to our level. He wanted to feel. How do you feel? I don't know anybody that loves anyone that much. And this imperfect being that's you and me and all of us, he did it for us. That's why you should never despair, because you're imperfect.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If he's God, he knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
Past the hour. It is a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection, September 21st, the feast of St. Matthew, the evangelist and apostle, and we greatly appreciate the evangelization efforts that continue with Archbishop Salvatore Corleone of the Archdiocese of San Francisco. He's very aware of media bias and media spin and is currently really doing whatever he can, along with Archbishop Gomez and other leaders in the church, to really dispel the slander and the awful myths that are being put at being put out there by an incredible saint, Saint Junipero Serra. And Archbishop, thank you for joining us. I know that you recently penned an editorial with Archbishop Gomez regarding the misinformation, the campaign against Saint Serra. What led you to get to the point where you felt, okay, we have to be very bold and put something in a major, a national secular publication? Thank you for joining us.
Okay, thank you for having me on the show. I had it in mind for quite some time. I spoke to Archbishop Gomez about it quite some time ago about doing a joint op-ed such as this. When the attacks on the Serra statues were beginning to happen here in California, we had two here in San Francisco, and he had some there in his archdiocese and at the state capitol. So it was just a matter of trying to find what was the right moment. And now that the California legislature passed a bill that's now on the governor's desk, to the law requires here in California, requires the statue of Serra to be at the state capitol. So this bill would change that and remove that requirement, and then ask that then require it to be replaced with a statue in honor of the indigenous people, which of course we're in favor of. We think both statues should be up there. So it was that bill that, and then the slanderous language in the bill is just outrageous. So that's what convinced us was the right moment to do this.
What are they saying, the measures that were put together, what are they saying about St. Serra in that measure that you just mentioned that is so just so false about the amazing work that he really did do in your area?
Yes, they're accusing the mission period of causing or perpetrating, the usual things, genocide, enslavement, abuse of women, and all this, which actually happened. Genocide and enslavement happened when California passed into the American period. The first governors of California, the first governor, Burnett, said quite explicitly that the race needs to be exterminated. And the state paid to the tune of, I believe it's something like $1.5 million, not adjusted to our dollars, to pay militia to go out and kill Indians. And there was a bounty on a head of an Indian. Someone who brought in a head of an Indian could get $5. So there was an explicit genocide in the American period and enslavement. When the missions were secularized, see, the Franciscans, their vision was to educate the people, evangelize them, make them equal Spanish citizens, and then when they're capable of self-governance, to hand the mission territory over to them to manage themselves. But that system fell apart when the secular Mexican government took over, basically stole the land from the church and secularized the missions. So that all fell apart. So there were abuses of the Indian people under the Spanish, but those abuses came from the soldiers, not from the Franciscans. So Serra, he should be heralded as a great hero in this age of racism. When we're decrying racism, he should be held up as a hero, someone who defended the oppressed.
So what's been the response, Your Excellency, to setting the record straight here? Because just as in the abortion industry and with the lies of those who support abortion, it's always the opposite. We're the ones who are, quote-unquote, enslaving women, abusing women because of being pro-life. And we're seeing the same thing done by to this great saint. What was the response when you put the facts out there in this op-ed piece at the Wall Street Journal?
I haven't seen much response. There was a local article here that was trying to tell both sides of the story. So they talked to me and got, quoted me accurately. And did so with the sponsor of the bill, who just basically denies the history. Like I said, we all know there was abuse of the Indians under the Spanish. And there was a lot of death, but the death was caused by disease. Not by an explicit genocide as in the American period. So we really need to get the history straight. I love to remind people that, I mean, St. Serra and the other Franciscans, Serra especially, made huge sacrifices to protect the Indians. The famous story, he walked from Carmel. He had a bad leg, a sore leg. He walked from Carmel all the way to Mexico City to meet with the viceroy, the king's representative, to present him his Bill of Rights for the native people, and to get special faculty. So the Franciscans had responsibility for the spiritual governance and the secular authorities for temporal governance, to get special faculties for temporal governance. So they could try to rewrite history, but I'd like to point out you can't rewrite buildings. And there are 21 missions in the chain right up and down the coast that was started by Father Serra. He personally founded 9 of them before he passed away. And 4 of those were also military centers, so they had a presidio. The presidio was the barracks of the Spanish soldiers. They figured out early on they needed to separate the Indians from the soldiers. So I'm from San Diego. I grew up a little over 3 miles from the first mission that he founded, so it's kind of personal with me. But I know the story. They first settled when they landed on a bluff overlooking the bay and built everything there, the presidio, the mission church, the school, the friary. And then there was an Indian uprising because the soldiers were abusing the women. And actually, one of the friars was shot and killed with an arrow. And Sarah pleaded for mercy for the man. But that's when they figured out they needed to get the Indians away from the soldiers. So they moved the mission inland. And if anyone goes to San Diego, if they visit the mission, it's in what they now call Mission Valley. Mm-hmm. And the Presidio is about 4 miles down to the west, closer to the bay. And then there are 3 other presidios in Santa Barbara, Monterey, and here in San Francisco. And you could see wherever they are, they're miles away from the mission church and where they have the school as well.
Mm. Wow.
So it's a physical reminder of the concern they had for protecting the Indians.
Yeah. Talking with Archbishop Salvatore Corleone from the Archdiocese of San Francisco, recently penning an editorial, a very good one. We'll put a link to it in our archive section, with Archbishop Gomez of Los Angeles in the Wall Street Journal regarding the attacks against Saint Sarah. Your Excellency, the other big point here for Catholic brothers and sisters is that, you know, those folks who are trying to say these things certainly don't understand, or at least are exhibiting a fact that they don't understand the rigorous process that one goes through to even be deemed venerable. I mean, to be able to be canonized. I mean, what the church looks at and how the church examines a person, everything they say, everything they write, everything they have done across the board is put under a microscope 10 times over. And so there's obviously a lack of understanding of that process as well.
Yes. And, you know, Pope Francis really wanted to canonize him. And let's remember, he came here to canonize him on American soil. So he was very intentional in his desire to do that, and called him, he said he should be considered one of the founding fathers of America, because he is the father of California. He established the mission system, and then eventually these Pueblos that grew up around the mission that started the whole social economic infrastructure of California. In fact, when he was here in San Francisco and he had to ask for more soldiers, this is another thing he did. He asked for soldiers who were married, that they would come with their wives and their children, seeing that that would minimize the abuse of the women from the soldiers. And then these Pueblos began to build up around the mission. So he really is the founder of California.
Wow. Now, we look at the gospel for today and the feast day, Your Excellency, in the first reading from St. Paul, and I love talking about, you know, making sure we're using all of our gifts. We're all called to evangelize. We have a responsibility to understand the truth. What's our Catholic responsibility when it comes to the history of the church, and especially saints like Saint Sarah?
It's very important that our people get informed of the real history. As I say, there are forces in our society that they're not satisfied anymore intimidating us into silence. They want us to actually feel ashamed to be Catholic. So, and they perpetrate a lot of myths, what we call the black legend, right? These myths about the church, and especially directed towards Spain, which spread the Catholic faith throughout the world. So we need to know the real history, and so I would strongly encourage people to get the facts, the history from good sources, become very knowledgeable about that in order to be able to defend it against these attacks we're subject to.
So the end game, do you think, what, is to just silence us completely, intimidate us into oblivion? What do you think?
I think of what happened in Eastern Europe after World War II. That's when the Soviet Union, immediately after the war, the Soviet Union began to spread the lies about Pope Pius XII. This is another chapter of the Black Legend, right? Pope Pius XII. About him being complicit with Hitler and the Nazis, which is the exact opposite is the case. They started spreading those lies in Poland because they saw that the church was the only thing standing in their way to world domination. So I think deep down, this is what it's about, that we're the last voice of moral authority in the world. And it's, if they can bring down the Catholic Church, then there's nothing standing in their way to global domination. So in addition to our people being knowledgeable, they also have to be faithful Catholics, embrace the fullness of the Catholic faith and live it well with prayer and fasting and practice of the faith, devotion, because it's our spiritual strength that will get us through these challenging times.
Yeah, and it's even more difficult, and this is something you deal with all the time and continue to discuss and talk about in your own ministry in the Archdiocese of San Francisco and elsewhere. Continually difficult when we have people who call themselves Catholics, such as Joe Biden or Nancy Pelosi, and stand behind these just ridiculous abortion measures. We have the USCCB, as you know, and Archbishop Nauman calling this measure that Nancy Pelosi is now pushing in and hoping to vote on this week, the Women's Health Protection Act, the most extreme abortion bill ever. Your response to that, I know it comes as no surprise, but how can we reach out to these people who call themselves Catholic but completely do the opposite? This is, seems like a never-ending battle for us, Your Excellency. It's something that you deal with all the time.
You know, the secularism is the sort of its own religion with its own infallible dogmas and list index of forbidden books and rituals and sacraments. And for them, abortion is their blessed sacrament, which is why they're so vehement into any little tinkling with any kind of reasonable regulation. I mean, most Americans don't want abortion on demand in all 9 months of pregnancy. Even if they think it should be legal, they're in favor of some kind of regulation about it. But as they react this way, it's getting more and more extreme. And people need to let their voices be heard so that our politicians understand that the American people aren't with them on that. But, you know, a lot of these politicians are beholden to Planned Parenthood, and they need that 100% rating from Planned Parenthood, Narrow Poor Choice America, to solidify their funding and their political power. So they're in Planned Parenthood's pocket, but the American people aren't there. They need to let their voices be heard about that.
Do you think in some ways our Lord is allowing all of this to wake us up, Your Excellency, especially in the church? What do you think?
Yes. We look in the history of salvation. There are times when God had to bring his people low because they became very haughty, and they became they made covenants with their pagan neighbors and worshiped their idols and turned their backs on God. And because they didn't voluntarily bring themselves low, he did. So, you know, we can think of the exile, for example, in the Old Testament. So I think that's what's happening now. We become very proud and complacent, and just like in the Old Testament times, and we're very complacent, and we're not really worshiping God. So I think it's a time when God needs to bring the church low, so we will turn back to him.
Hmm. Your Excellency, thank you for your time and for getting up at the crack of dawn practically and chatting with us, and appreciate you speaking out on a regular basis, not only for St. Sarah, but for life. Archbishop Salvatore Corleone, of course, the Archbishop of San Francisco. We thank him for his time and his dedication to the gospel. 53 minutes past the hour. We'll come back, let you know it's coming up on a Wednesday morning. And what are you doing individually to make a difference and to be a St. Matthew in your own home and community? We'll be right back.
Location, location, location. These are the three most important factors in real estate. The same might be said for colleges. Trudging through snow to get to an 8 a.m. statistics class is a much different experience than breezing by a palm tree to the raucous applause of a laughing gull. With the average temperature of 84 degrees and wetland nature as your backdrop, it's no wonder students tend to stay once they visit our campus. Ave Maria University, your future location, location, location. Visit avemaria.edu.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
Hello, this is Steve Ray from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Our Wisconsin pilgrimage is already sold out.
but our St. Augustine trip was such a success that we're starting another one in November 1st through the 4th, the beginning of the Catholic history of our country, the First Parish and the First Parish Mass. Great place. Also, three trips to the Holy Land, a St. Paul cruise, and Lourdes and Fatima.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Minutes past the hour. Thanks for tuning in to the one, the only EWTN website, EWTN.com. This program, Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. We appreciate your listenership, your support, your faithfulness. And you know what? Since we're all here, thanks be to God. God is not through with us yet. So take those readings to heart. They really spoke to me this morning. And go back and look at the gospel, look at the first reading. What is our Lord calling each of us to do in terms of our own evangelization efforts? We're all given certain gifts. How are we using them? Are we using them well and wisely? It's something that I ask myself every single day. And every day I get up and I offer the show over to God. Now I say Andrew is my producer, but the Lord is our executive producer. And I do believe that he orchestrated all the readings today to tie in very, very nicely with all of our fantastic guests. We'll have all the links we mentioned on our archive section at Catholic Connection. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Go out there and make a difference. Ciao, ciao. See you on Wednesday.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.